Testing. Okay, everything's good. Go. You go, kind of.
Okay, I'm John Siegel.
Wait, hold on. No, I was just test the volume thing again.
Okay. Testing.
That's perfect. Perfect volume. Stay at, like, my volume.
Okay.
You guys are good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman, founder of Air 5. This is not suits and handshakes business. This is not boring business. Let's go. Yep. Today we have a very good friend, JV Siegel, John Siegel, is your professional name is, right?
It is, yes.
And a colleague of yours, a loving colleague who we've met before.
Hi,
Jackie from Built in LA.
Yes.
Go into a little bit about your guys' selves, how you work together, what Built in LA does to help the fostering tech community here in LA.
Yeah. So Built in LA is really your go-to source for anything tech-related in LA. So news, jobs, events. And if you are interested in the digital space in LA and you're either searching something or you intentionally go to our site, you'll find a ton of articles that John writes on different companies, you know, all different verticals, what they're doing, what their technology's like, who their leaders are, and what it's like to work for them. You also find some jobs up there, and we do events as well.
Okay, so, John, you're the writer, and you're like, you're kind of famous around the city, right? We have beers
a
over
local
this.
Local celeb.
We talk about this.
For famous for what, exactly?
For writing the most magnificent articles about tech in Los Angeles.
In that regard, yes, that I'm... I'm a regular D-list celebrity.
In LA, I think that's something, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I run with a lot of like B-list, C-list people in like Toluca Lake area.
Really?
Because that's where they all live.
Yeah.
All, like the TV stars.
I see them all around Studio City, too.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? Yeah. That's where they all just hang out, live, love.
They could be normal in Studio City.
Absolutely. Yeah, no one's going over there.
I think there's an unwritten code where if you're famous, no one is supposed to recognize you. It's like you internalize it.
Sure.
I saw Johnny Manziel a couple of weeks ago.
Where?
In Studio City. He's walking his dogs.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does he live in LA?
I think he lives in Studio City. I think he has like an Instagram model girlfriend.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would think from Johnny Manziel. Like he's now living off of his Instagram girlfriend's fame. I believe.
He's got options.
To stay relevant.
He's got options for the record. It just might be north of the border.
I just heard Johnny Manziel played some game in Texas. Like some pickup game of football, and like there were like 2,000 people. He drew just a crowd for himself.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Is this insane? No one's heard about this?
No.
Johnny?
No.
It's weird, right?
Was he working out for NFL teams? Was
I that don't the know. Do you think an NFL team would take a shot on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the talent.
He does have the talent.
Button up.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, anyway, how we got to there. Like, I love this. And this is what I love about like doing this podcast and doing these kinds of things, which is you never know where conversations are going or heading.
Oh, yeah.
And then we end up, is Johnny Manziel going to play in the NFL again?
Important, though.
I derailed
important fact. Important fact.
Yeah.
Okay, so you write for Built in LA. You biz dev for Built in LA.
Yeah.
How do those jobs intersect? He's always talking to me about you.
Like,
she's a hustler. She's a killer.
Thanks.
And I love biz dev killers. So go into
killer.
Kind of what you do.
Be like a vanity license plate, I think, maybe.
Biz dev killer.
Yeah.
I love that.
You'd have to have like
my Honda CRV. That's so LA.
Yeah. That is. Yeah.
Got
to have a plug-in to have that.
we work really closely together. So my job is to partner with different companies. Like it could be any company from a small bootstrap startup to enterprise who is looking to partner with us and have a content strategy to really help kind of get their message out there. So my job is to help them come up with that strategy and decide what they want to highlight. And then me and John work really closely together and I'm like, hey, you know, this company is doing X, Y, or Z. And he's obviously then creating content and we're kind of constantly trying to figure out, you know, what the latest is going on in the community, you know, what companies are growing, who's hot, you know, who we need to kind of cover and finding out interesting stories. So
how do you figure that out? Right? Like who is the tech press whore company like in LA? Like, who wants, write about me more. Like, you guys have to get emails like this.
I think naturally every company wants to have something written about them. Some are more vocal than others.
Yeah.
But from a writer's perspective, everyone has a story. Mm-hmm. The fact that press relations people reach out to me and kind of, you know, tee the ball up, so to speak.
Okay.
Certainly helps things out. But there is that aspect of really digging in deeper and finding another angle within an angle to make some really interesting content.
Yeah, and I'm like, my job is to talk to these companies, and a lot of times they're hiring aggressively. So it's like, why are you hiring aggressively? What projects are you working on? Tell me more about that. And sometimes that's how, you know, then I'll let John know about a conversation, or he'll read something, or he'll talk to a company and tell me, and then I start a conversation with them, and it, you know, can sometimes turn into like a bigger thing.
So you go and kind of like suss out the companies, right? Basically. For like stories, angles. Stories,
and also like a lot of times companies will come to us and come to me because they're hiring and they need to talk about what they're doing. And so there's a lot of a lot of times there's more than one story. What we do is create a content strategy. And so John can kind of like segment out, okay, let's talk about your technology now, but then let's talk about your really interesting team and dive into what it's like to work for
this
you guys.
This is the part that's incredibly interesting to me, because JB tells me, John. Do I have to refer to you as John? Okay.
You could call me Hank if you want to.
John, Hank, listen, Hank. So he always tells me like all these updates on, I don't think as built in LA as like an actual startup. But it is a startup, right? So, like, I think he was mentioning, like, oh, we're growing and we're doing these kinds of things. You guys, although as like a publication, and I want to say, I think when I tell people about you, it's the largest tech publication in LA. Is that false?
I think that's right. I mean,
sure.
Based on Facebook likes, I feel like that is correct.
Yeah, I mean, we're hyper local. I don't really think doing what we're doing exactly. So yeah.
What stage of growth are you guys in? In what is the dynamic that both of, in either of you can speak to this? Because I know a little bit about your opinion, but you can go in depth for this. But what are the kind of the challenges or like friction or frictionless things that you've seen where, as like a tech publication and a startup, what are some of those like challenge points or the unique perspectives that you can bring from both POPs? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for John, but I think for us at this point, we're kind of at this point where we're I don't want to say we're exploding, but we probably don't have enough bandwidth, if anything. Like, there's so much we want to cover and talk about, and so many companies that we want to talk with. So that's like the crazy thing is we're gaining that popularity, but then it's like, okay, we need more manpower.
Right. So Built In isn't just Built In LA, right?
Right. We're in 6 markets.
Okay. Now, how fast is LA growing versus the other markets?
I'd say it's on par with our other big markets. I mean, all of the markets launch at different times. So that's all of the markets launch at different times. So that kind of plays a part in it too. You know, Chicago is where our headquarters are at. Mm-hmm. So they've been established for about 7 years, but then we've been out here.
7 years? Mm-hmm. Has it been that long?
For Chicago.
We were just celebrating John's anniversary.
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah, I think this week it was actually 2 years. That's got my...
Congratulations. Can we give John in studio a round of applause? Congratulations. Yeah, proud of you, bro.
In startup years, it's so long.
Yeah.
It is, right? Yeah. Outside of what the companies that I've been building that John has been kind enough to write about, I have not stayed anywhere more than 8 months.
Yeah.
Like outside of my own companies.
This is the longest tenured job I've had.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That needs to be celebrated.
That's like, awesome.
I love that. Okay. So talking about jobs, pivoting from like different careers is a staple in what Not Boring Business stands for.
I love it.
You guys can go kind of back and forth. What was your experience, Jackie, before Built In LA, and how did you transition into this?
That is a great question, and I love that this is part of your whole thing because I used to work in fashion.
Hey! I love
totally
that.
Different. Totally different. I lived in New York, and I graduated a long time ago with a fashion merchandising and marketing degree, and then went to New York City, and I worked for different companies there for like 7 years. And then I decided I was really interested in like the e-commerce side of fashion.
Okay.
And then I decided, okay, well, maybe I'll even cast a wider net and look for just any kind of interesting tech company. And then that led me to, I think I want to live out in LA. I have been traveling out to LA a lot. And
for work? Years,
for work, for fun.
Okay.
Like for probably, I don't know, since like 2009, I've been coming out here on a regular basis. And then I finally was like, okay, I want to make a move and I want to work for a really interesting company that I'm excited about. And I started doing my due diligence and searching, and I was reading articles on Built in LA, not thinking I'd work for Built in LA.
Sure, right.
And then, yeah, through networking and just kind of hustling and figuring out and gathering information of, you know, from different people I knew who were doing anything remotely close to what I wanted to do, I would talk to them.
Yeah.
And then I got connected with a friend, now a friend, who works at Built in, and we started chatting.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I got introduced to the company and then our CEO.
Did you meet John before?
No, I started right before John.
Oh, you did? Oh,
okay. Yeah. It was like 2 months or something.
Yeah,
right?
It was just like right before. So
oh,
we've
wow,
basically
okay.
been working together since the start.
What about you, John?
I wrote about sports out of college, high school football specifically, which is a lot of fun. Don't get to do it as much as I'd like to anymore, but I found something else to do, which is as fun. And then I worked in marketing, copywriting, until I found I had an opportunity to check out Built in LA. And it just so happened that I had freelanced for one of the other built-in sites before. Mm. And I saw that they were hiring a staff writer in LA. I reached out to my old editor, and that got the ball rolling. And then I got the offer a little while after that. And that was 2 years ago now.
So, like, okay, so why, maybe you kind of answered this, but John, why Built in LA?
I liked the style of publication. I liked that there was a lot of room to grow as a publication. I think when, I remember during the interview process, multiple people asked me, like, what do you know about, one, startups, two, the LA startup scene? And I remember thinking, like, do I embellish? Do I say, like, oh, yeah, I know about Snapchat? And I said, I decided to be completely honest, and I said, I know nothing about it, but I'm confident that once I get this position, I'm really going to dive right into it. And that's one of the things that I do, like, every morning. It's become more than just a job. It's like I love waking up in the morning and like I check my sports sites because I'm weird like that.
Absolutely.
And then I check the local startup news and I check, you know, Crunchbase and TechCrunch and everything like that just to make sure I hadn't. And I go page after page on press releases. It's something that I really enjoy.
Okay. That's great. I love that. So like, and a lot of this career progression and pivoting, a lot of times, like, I think I've pivoted from my career, and I started as an accountant and then somehow got fired from almost every job that I've ever had. Like,
leading
what,
you down a better path, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I believe I'm the most stressed out I've ever been in my entire life, yet the most happy.
Yeah, I definitely get that.
John can speak to a lot of the things because I meet with him regularly for drinks, or as regularly as I meet anyone. And he sometimes sees the frustration and kind of the friction, and he sees it firsthand. This is an interesting question. You get more my real side with like building companies and kinds of these things. Does anyone, you don't have to name names, but when you talk to other people, do they give you that real authentic side, or do they give you the PR side of stuff?
I'd say that, I mean, our relationship has developed to the point where we could be honest with each other. Usually when I'm interviewing CEOs or founders, I'm definitely getting the pitch. You could see sometimes how excited they are. Sometimes their eyes are drooping a little bit, and you could just see that they're really tired. And other times, you just see that they're like bouncing in their chair, and that excites me because no matter like if they could be, it could be the most boring ish like enterprise software, and if you see that they're really excited, it makes me want to write about it because then you know, you start asking, and then they take you down a different rabbit hole, and it's just really compelling stuff.
What's a good question that you ask? Do you have any like litmus test questions that you like to get the real story or to the crux, or do you really like pander and cater to like the people?
Honestly, and it's going to sound super basic,
go.
But I ask for, my first question is high level overview of what the company does, if it's a company. that usually gets them started for 3 or 4 minutes because they're doing the pitch. And I look for different ticks in what they're talking about. It could be where they pause or they reference something in their past where they were working somewhere else before. And then I follow up on that. And usually that takes you down to some sort of, you know, maybe I can't think of something right now, but that usually gives you an indication that there's a person behind this business. Mm-hmm. Sure. And that's what I'm looking for.
That's what's so cool about it. I mean, and even when I'm having my conversations with these companies, asking them, you know, okay, like, you're growing, tell me more. Those are the stories I think John and I both get so excited about and probably makes our job fun and stressful. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't, like, one, actually, I can think of a specific example there near you guys, Watch Gang.
Go.
They have such a cool story because, like, the way that they even got started, it's just such, like, a personal story with the founder and, like, those are the things that I don't know. I think that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
And, like, watching them grow, and we do, like, our top 50 list.
I always think people, and I have this saying that people don't buy from companies, they buy from people.
Sure.
So if you, it's that whole Simon Sinek why question. It's like, why do people buy things? And it's like, they either buy because they just absolutely need this thing, right? Or they buy because they feel for the person selling it or the product or why it was built or the story
exactly.
around it. How often are you seeing? Do you see like that story relayed?
A lot, I think. Yeah, I mean, it depends. But we are. I mean, we do work with a lot of different types of companies, but for the most part, they're startups.
Absolutely.
So there is kind of a cool story, you know, when somebody's like, I came up with this idea and I'm going for it, and right now I have like 6 people that work in, you know, my garage or whatever it is. But then you see it grow and progress, and, you know, we work with companies that are a lot bigger now. But it's, yeah, quite often I think we hear some cool stories.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you think?
All the time. Yeah. Some more compelling than others.
Every story I've ever written.
Well, I'm not really doing my job if I don't find anything out besides what the company sells.
So it's up to you to find the value in the story that they're speaking. Right?
I think so.
Sometimes they could speak just a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Sometimes people are like, yeah, we've got a cool culture. And it's like, well, what makes your culture cool? You know, what is different? And he probably hears like the same thing a lot of the time, so he has to dig deeper because we can't just write about ping pong tables.
So how do you dude, they are the best PR version of themselves. How do you find the real story? Right? Like, how do you find what truly like motivates them or like yes, that's for right, exactly. That is the biggest key, right? You don't use that though.
No, not all the time.
No. Not yeah.
Okay. I try and then I kind of think that this is just who I am as a person. I don't talk much. I listen. But if you listen correctly, that leads to the right kind of questions, and then that takes the conversation down the right path. And I think also if I'm doing an interview, I try to make it a conversation and not like an interview, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really tough to transcribe when an interview is like 45 minutes long and half of it is like small talk.
Yeah.
But in the end, you get that rapport with the person you're interviewing and you get a more interesting story too.
Okay, interesting. So it takes, I guess both of you have aspects of listening is really important, right?
For sure.
Okay, here's an interesting question. Which one of you thinks that listening is more crucial to your job? You as writing or you as biz dev trying to sell someone?
I think, honestly, it's probably the same for both. I know that's a horrible answer, but like, I have to listen. I mean, maybe more for John.
Okay.
Because he actually is like having to write this angle. But I have to hear what's going on with these companies to come up with the right solutions and the right questions, because our platform, if utilized properly, like, it could look different for each company. It could be a different solution. You know, at the end of the day, the end goal is getting their name out there, telling their story, and getting the right talent in the door. And for our users, it's having actual information about these companies.
Sure.
But to get there, I have to ask the right questions, make sure we're setting them up for the right thing.
Absolutely.
But I think, too, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I don't like to just say, like, I'm in sales, because really it is about that relationship.
And it's all that's why I love, like, business development.
Yeah, because it's like, is this right? Sales. Like, let's come up with an actual partnership.
Yeah.
And I'm almost like a consultant in a way, in that sense, you know?
You look at it as less transactional.
Yeah,
yeah,
I do. I definitely think it's more consultative. But, I mean, if you can't tell, I'm chatty.
I love
it. And I think that I probably talk more.
Come on here, and that, not to throw anyone under the bus that's come on here, but how many fucking interviews are sitting in the can right now because, like, they were lost and confused, and I'm like, I literally put in the production sheet. This production sheet, it used to say up here, update production sheet. And I had to put in the production sheet, be weird, be
have fun.
What I say, yeah, have fun, be weird, joke around. Just, like, fill space. Just don't, make shit up. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Let's just make everything up.
I just want it to be a fun back and forth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of cool that you pick up on that. So one of the questions that I'm very interested in, because you are a really good listener, and I think a lot of the times when we talk, I come away, like, de-stressed, right? But I try to listen to your stuff.
John says three words, and you're like, man, he's a good therapist.
he just gets it.
He gets me.
He gets
me. And all he said was, you want another beer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what do you think makes a quality, proactive listener?
It's too easy to say that actually paying attention, but being interested, I think, honestly, everybody has, I want to believe it's everybody, but I've encountered a handful of people where it's like, wow, that person really adds nothing to the world. but I think that most people I surround myself with and people that I like getting beers and watching hockey with, I honestly, like, care about that they're them as a person,
sure,
and their ongoing development as a person. Mm.
So you feel invested in me. You're invested in me.
Yeah.
We've got to put that quote up there. I have this weird, I don't want to read this quote to the podcast, but we've got to put your quote on there, which I absolutely love. So
invest in others.
Invest in others.
I like that.
Invest in others, John Siegel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, like so being a startup yourself as and like a publication, right?
Yeah.
It's just weird, like the startup publication thing, which I love, though. I love that dynamic. It's hard, and I know you go through a lot of shit, and I'm sure you get a lot of people bugging you to write stuff. How do you stay motivated in those tough times? Everyone goes through that those frictionous times.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys stay motivated to your mission?
I'm genuinely interested in what I write about, so that's pretty easy. I just think that there's so much that you can do. There's no boundaries really to my job. I could write about what I want to, when I want to do it. So I know that having that freedom is certainly really interesting. And I think that the team that we have too is just, it's fantastic. My editor, honestly, she's a great boss, but she's also like a friend. And I know the writers in the other markets too, like, we banter on Slack all day long. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Just like, I don't ever like wake up in the morning and like dread my job or anything.
Mm. So that's it, right? Like, I was just telling you, Kelsey, I said, I love what I do, right? And I work, no joke, 15, 16 hours. And that's not a joke, right? No joke. And I say that my time card gets punched when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And it seems like if you can connect with that, be it you love what you do, even if it's not starting your own business or something, it's still going through that grind. If you love it, it makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
It can definitely. I mean, I totally agree. I think from like what my role is and my job, it's a little. It can really be daunting sometimes because there's quotas. You know, there's a lot of pressure at times, deadlines and things that we need to kind of adhere to, and I think as much as I love it, I do have to be a little bit structured. Like, if I'm losing my steam, I gotta kind of strip it away and sort of not look at, okay, this month as a whole, but day to day almost.
Okay.
And like keep it kind of like, what do I need to do to get from A to B, and like that
today
kind of, yes,
yeah,
and
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of motivates me too. I mean, like, the bigger picture of course motivates me, but I think it's like, what are your small wins? You know, and like, what can you
ABC,
celebrate
ABC, always
now?
Be celebrating.
I like that.
I love that.
I like it.
That's
but
my
no,
ABC.
Really, like,
I don't want to always be closing,
you know,
but...
No. And I think the thing that people forget, because we're all in this grind, we're constantly, like, on to the next, as a society, I think we are.
Mm.
But when you stop and you look back at where you've come, even in the past 6 months, year, whatever, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that we're here now and we've done all of this. And I, to me, like, I get motivated off, like, that positivity. I'm already going to beat myself up more than anybody's going to beat me up. So, sure. Like, for me to stay motivated, it's kind of like being proud of, you know, everything that we're doing as a team for LA, what we're doing as, for a team is, you know, built in, and kind of using that as ammo.
Yeah.
To keep going, I guess.
Do you guys compete with the, like, internally, do you guys compete with the other markets? Like, we're better, or we hit our quotas better?
Well, I mean, like, there's numbers.
You know what I mean? Sure. Are you internalizing, like, these competitions?
It's like, friendly competition.
I compete with everybody here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have competition, but we're all, like, trying to drive this bus in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, John has his views and things, and I have, you know, my numbers, and I think everyone's kind of...
Oh, you've got view numbers.
Yeah.
Do you have to hit certain view numbers?
No, we just have to... I mean, I just have to be moving forward, and there are a ton of different metrics that we look at every day, and we look at the numbers where you could find, you know, you could find positives in pretty much everything, and room for improvement, too. That's why we look at the numbers, after all. Yeah. But to your question about competition... I don't feel like I'm competing against the other markets. I feel like we're all like a team.
Sure.
We do have to.
That's really nice.
Yeah. That's so think nice. We all feel.
I'm competing. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
We're all that rowing the boat together. Yeah.
Right?
We're all
right. Yes. All ships rise with the tide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think competition's healthy, right? Okay. So you guys just launched. This is weird plug. This is not a plug really. But I just posted a job because we just launched our career page. We're growing.
Awesome.
And one of my biggest things was wanting to post it on Built-In.
Sure.
And you guys just kind of launched a new website?
It was a redesign.
Redesign.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But it's got to make, we got to make over.
It looks fun better. As shit.
Yeah.
It Thank looks you. Fun. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
I wanted to post on it because it looked cool. Is that weird?
No. I think that's also another
thing. It was attractive to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks a lot better.
Do you guys get a lot of hits because of what I say?
I think it just looks, you know, it's more intriguing when someone lands on it, you know? The technology is better. We're improving the technology every week, it seems. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely an upgrade.
Cool. I love it. Okay, so... is there anything else you guys want to plug? Then I'm going to ask my nugget question.
Okay.
But do you guys have anything else?
I don't think so. No.
You guys are having fun?
I have a blast.
Dude, we're all having fun, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone can shout.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah! Look at the people. All right, I love you guys. Okay. Wait, hold on. So this was on the production sheet because I just built this production sheet. Doesn't it look professional?
It did.
When you think like... production sheet like shit, but on here it says like producer Jeremy Redman, like I just go okay, truth be told, like I stole this production sheet from someone's podcast that I was on and I just put my own shit on there and I go, this is a great production sheet, I'll just
fake
throw
it
my
you make it
fake it till you make it,
yeah,
you know. Okay, so this is a great question. I love this question when I thought of it. So okay, what are the lengths, and you can each individually answer, and then we'll end this charade. What are the lengths you're willing to go in order to accomplish your goals?
Wow. Okay, so specific example I can give you.
Okay.
This was one of the scariest things I've ever done. Okay, so right before I moved to LA, I made a pit stop in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a year because our headquarters are in Chicago.
Okay.
But I was always working with Built in LA. Before I got my job at Built In, I was working in fashion, like I mentioned, and I didn't want to do it anymore, and I didn't want to live in New York anymore, and I knew I needed to make a change. My lease was up. I was not happy at my job, so I quit my job, and I thought, okay, this is the time that I need to just, like, leave and make a change. But before I did that, the only thing I could really do was go back home to Ohio for the holidays and then post up at my parents' house while I did all my research and tried to figure out my next move. And that was scary as shit because every day I was like, am I ever going to get out of here?
Yeah.
Like, I was really scared. But I knew that if I didn't do that, that I would end up taking something I didn't want to take because of, you know, rent, whatever, you know, all these things. And I was lucky enough that I could go take that pit stop in Ohio. But I feel like that was kind of one of the craziest and scariest things I've ever done.
Oh, I love that.
Because I just took, like, a crazy, like, detour in my career path. But, and I was like, I mean, I literally had my 10-year reunion when this was happening. So I went to my 10-year reunion. People are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm currently living with my parents, trying to figure it out. But
unemployed.
Yeah.
Figuring
this out. But then it worked
out.
So I don't know if that answers, if that's, like, the right answer.
It's great.
But it was.
Right, like the shame.
Yeah,
like,
it was
you
pretty...
go through the shame of it. I know I'm shameful every day. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm a dirty... I'm a walk of shame in a human body.
Are you?
I think so.
Oh, my God, no.
I truly feel that way. At least it feels that way.
He's really not.
Maybe it's not the truth.
It doesn't seem
that
way.
So we all hate each other. We all hate ourselves as much as you hate yourself.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I didn't hate myself. I knew I was going to
have... I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything, but I think that,
guys,
like...
Guys, I didn't do a walk of shame in Ohio. If that's, like, this is what that's going to turn into. Yeah. Right. No, not walk of shame back to my parents' house. But no. They're going to... All these
clothes
are going
to... She walked back to Ohio with a white flag.
Surrender.
Yes.
No, I didn't... I believed that I would get there, but it was scary.
It's what you had to do to get there.
Yes.
No, I fucking love it.
And
you're amazing.
Irish goodbye in New York. Like, my friends were kind of mad at me. Like, I just kind of peaced out. And
yes.
I'm
the
know.
King
you
of
just
the
have
Irish
to do
goodbye,
it.
By the way.
I've done that too.
I am known at all the networking events as just the person who just...
It's the best way to...
It's the best way to leave.
It's the best
anywhere.
And worst way to go about it.
If you're letting people, and this is real advice, if people are wondering where you're at by the end of the party, you've done a good job.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Leave on a high note.
Right. I think
leave
when you
them
Irish,
wanting more.
Irish goodbying is leaving on a high note. Right.
I agree.
Down. New quote.
A new quote.
Okay, John, what about you? Do you have anything? How far would you go, my man?
That's a really tough one.
Go, try.
You know, I think it's always about... It's really a process for me. I think it's just a matter of, like, becoming a better, more valuable person. It's like adding value. That's a really crappy answer, I think. I don't really know what to say. What do you want me to say, Jeremy? I'm going
to
throw
myself...
What's
the craziest thing you've ever done?
If you had a goal,
I don't
right?
know. I can't say that.
If you had a goal, and it was become writer of Built in LA, and you knew there was another candidate that was probably better than you, and he had to be on time for something, would you give him a little pop in the old tire?
Oh.
Would you do that?
Dirty.
No, would you be not so dirty, but would you do that?
I wouldn't do that. I'd have someone else do that.
Oh, love
very
it.
Tanya Harding
us. Yes, I love it. No physical harm. But
my last name is Siegel. I may or may not have ties to, you know, certain...
Bugsy?
Oh, yep. No.
I love
it. Is his last name Siegel?
Yeah, it
yeah.
is.
Okay.
I love this.
Might have a relationship there.
Okay, fine. Thank you guys so much
Thank
for coming
you.
On. You guys were great. Thanks to the audience members. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
And check out Built in LA. Where can everyone else find you guys?
Yeah, they can find us on Twitter. John
Built in LA.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm at Jack Built in LA, I think. Sorry.
J-A-C.
Yeah.
Jack?
Yeah, J-A-C. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, follow Built in LA on Twitter, too.
Great.
And check out our new site.
Perfect.